Hey friends, how are we? Good to see everybody this morning. You can tell it's fall. Church is full. I love it. Awesome, awesome. Let's take this opportunity. We'll dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. All right, we start a new teaching series today called 2020 Vision, and there's multiple layers to that, right? We want to have 2020 clear vision, and then this is also what are we going to be doing in the next year, year and a half of our life as a church. So we'll lay it out for you. And to do that, we're going to open up the book of Acts. I figured that'd be a good place to start because Acts is the story of the early church. Don't know if you knew this, but a guy named Luke wrote it. Same guy who wrote the Gospel of Luke. So it's really like two books for the price of one. There you go. All right, Acts 2, 42 to 47. Here we go. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Awesome. You know, I read this scripture, and I think at the time, the early church had the best kept secret in town. I mean, you read that scripture and you go, wow, that is what a church should look like, right? The sense of community, the sense of fellowship, spiritual vitality and growth, God working miraculously in and among the people, God bringing in new people from the outside into Christian community and experiencing the joy of salvation. And as I think about that early church, I think about the church today, I think we've got a great thing going on. Maybe we just don't celebrate it enough. You know, the last series I realized was hard-hitting for a lot of you. And so you got a little bit maybe of some vinegar at times. Here comes the sugar. You know, as I went down the rows last Sunday night amidst being blown everywhere looking for a little dog chased by a lady on a broom, I thought, what an amazing thing we've got going on here. I mean, people show up in a windstorm. We got kids playing in jumpies. I'm sure we may have. The key word is always may with legal parlance. You know, maybe we may have broken a few rules on wind gusts and how jumpies work, but that's okay. And I looked at all the people who show up with candy. I look at new people who were here to check it out and experience the joy of community. You know, we had the mystery machine. It was awesome. It was awesome. And as I looked around, I thought, who doesn't need this? Who doesn't need this kind of experience in their life that when they go and are part of a community of people, they say, wow, I belong somewhere. And this isn't just a group that gets together and meets every so often. This is a group that's all about trying to experience the grace and the power of God in their lives. Who doesn't need this? Who doesn't need a church in their life? You know, our vision hasn't changed that much in 9 years. We've tightened it and made it a little more simple. But it's very simple. We're joining Jesus in the revolution of transforming lives through teaching and serving. It was teaching and serving at the beginning. It's teaching and serving now. Vision hasn't changed much. But our process, our methods, our values have been shaped, and our ministry is becoming clearer, I think, now that we're about 9 years in. We've grown to about 300 people on a Sunday morning. It's become deeper, more involved, and we have new opportunities to grow the church, build the kingdom, and change the world. And for the next 4 weeks, that's what we're going to be talking about. How do we bring these things into focus, and how can we remain focused for the next year, year and a half in our life together as a church? And I want us to set some big goals. I think maybe this is just me. Maybe it's my own complacency, but I wonder if we've gotten a little complacent as a church. And we haven't pushed far enough or hard enough. And I haven't just arrived at this on my own. I take a look at all the ministry action plans that were submitted this fall by all of the different leaders and the groups in the church, and I think, wow, there's great potential here. And maybe it's time to kick it into high gear and head to the next level. So I want you to ask yourself, in your own life, what's your vision? What would the life that you have always dreamed of look like? Think about that for just a minute. What would the life that you've always dreamed of look like? Who would be part of it? How would you feel each day? What would you chase after? What would your relationship with God look like? And I bet that you might say things, maybe something like this. I would have such a deep and vitalized relationship with God that I could hear his voice and I would know that it was him speaking to me. I would chase after people and not stuff. I would be more generous with my time and my finances. I would make a difference in people's lives. I would experience greater joy. I imagine some of you might say, well, you know, I'd really like to win the lotto, and that's all well and good, you know, ha-ha. But,
as long as they
tithe. Right, as long as they tithe, absolutely. we'll gladly help you out with your taxes in that regard. You know, a lot of people want this kind of life. And yet the struggle is, how do I pursue it? What's the process that's involved? I want you to say something with me this morning. My life doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by change. My life doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by change. You're like, oh, I gotta change. Yeah, maybe a little. Let's call it a tweak. Will that help you? Yeah, my life doesn't get better by chance, it gets better by change. And what's the change is a 2020 kind of vision, a process that's involved. And as I look at the scripture this morning, and I realize I went a little rainbow bright on the text for you, but I see two groups of words here. Right? Let's look at this one more time. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Two groups of things going on. The first are the processes involved. Teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer. Christian processes that are happening. The second group, the group in red, is the power that the early church experiences. Awe comes upon every soul. Many wonders and signs are being done through the apostles. So you've got process. And you follow these processes, and there's something about God's power that is involved. Now, how many of us here want the power? I mean, everybody does, right? I want to experience the power of God. I have people who tell me all the time, Brian, I would love to see a miracle. Love to see a miracle. Now, this isn't just the beginning part of the scripture. Look, it goes on. It says, and all who believed were together had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as they had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Process words, right? Now look at the power. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Again, process, and somehow these processes lead to power. Lots of people, they want the process, or they want the power, rather, but they're not willing to walk through the process. And that's not how it works. We all want the power. Who doesn't want to see a miracle happen? Who doesn't want to have a miracle happen in their own lives? Who wouldn't love to see brother or sister so-and-so who's been lost and struggling and hurting or whatever for years upon years and you've prayed for them? Who doesn't want them to see them be changed by the power of God? We all do. But what's the process involved? I love what the book of Proverbs says. It says, he dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he's led astray. In other words, when there's no process in your life, you won't experience the power of God. And in the modern church, it's all about, hey, we want the sugary, sweet, good power, but as for the discipline and the process, that doesn't sound like fun. I just want to kind of come and go and do my thing and here and there. And, you know, and God, why don't you show up? What's up with that? Process leads to power. Process allows God to work in your life so that the power you need is there. And notice another word in our scripture this morning. It says this, and they, what's the word?
Devoted.
Devoted. The apostles had a 2020 crystal clear vision of what life with God was all about. And at the heart of the scripture is this word devoted. Love that word. The word devoted literally means to attach oneself, be faithful to wait on, to busy oneself with a task. And it comes from a root word that means to be strong, to be courageous, to endure. And I wonder if it doesn't work like this. As we're strong, as we endure, as we are courageous in the process of our life with God, as we're devoted to a process with God, we begin to experience more of God's goodness and God's power in our lives. Yes? You read Acts chapter 1 and 2, the disciples, the apostles, they prayed for 50 days. Why don't you wrap your head around that? For 50 days, they locked themselves into a room and prayed. And on the 50th day, the whole house shook and was filled with God's Spirit. Process leads to power, yes? How many people find it hard to pray for 50 seconds sometimes? You see why there's a lack of power? So, and it's not like, well, I'm going to just, you know, call work and check out of my family for 50 days. I'm saying, you know, what if we started with 50 seconds? And what if it became 50 minutes? And what might the power of God look like in your life? And what might the power of God look like if every believer who was connected to this community had such a spiritually vitalized kind of life? What would the power of God be doing in and through this place? And look, it's already great. But what about next level type stuff? And what were they devoted to? Well, they were devoted to the process, apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. But it started with this word teaching. Well, what is the apostles' teaching, Brian? Well, it's Jesus' teaching. Jesus is Savior, he's Lord, but he's a teacher. I mean, he had a message. The message was very simple. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. God's power is near. The process is you repent, you quit living the life that you're living, and you believe that God is present. And because God is present, God wants to do something fantastic in your life. He wants to save you and forgive you from your sins and give you power to live the Christian life. Then you do it. And you run after that with all that you have. The process leads to the power. And you cannot do that without this kind of teaching. If you're devoted to the process of apostolic teaching, you will at some point experience the power of a transformed life. And here's how this works. We watch folks drift in and out of here all the time. Average American now goes to church twice a month. And if that's you, awesome. I'm glad you started somewhere, right? The process takes time. I get that. That's awesome. If you're coming once a month, great. I'm saying let's increase the process. But what happens for most people is they give up on the process, then they don't experience as much of God's power, and then they begin to check out of the Christian life altogether. Like, I'm not going to church, I'm not going to my group, I'm not giving, I'm not going to serve. You know what? In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of turn inward, and it's going to be all about me because I don't feel good right now, and this whole Christianity thing, I don't really experience much of God. Well, if you're not experiencing much of God, that can happen, even if you are following the process, but check the process first. When we check out, we begin to experience less of God's power, and as we experience less of God's power, we check out more. And then all of a sudden, we ask ourselves the question, where did God go? He didn't go anywhere. He's everywhere. Where did you go? Because the story I read says that there was a son who lived in the father's house. That son had everything that he needed. And somewhere along the way, he realized, well, I don't need the process of being in relationship with the father. I just want my money. And so he left. He goes into a far country. And what begins to happen? Every step away from the father's house, he experiences less of the father's love and the father's power. Until he gives it all away and lives it up in wild living. And then the amazing part about God is this. He keeps coming after us. And so that son comes to a realization in a pig pen. He says, my life is a mess. It's time to go home. It's time to start the process all over again. And that process led him back to God. That process led him back to the Father's house. And the process is the same for us. It leads us back to God's power in our lives. And here at Revolution, I truly, truly believe if you would commit to a process, a 40 out of 52 Sundays a year, we'll give you one off a month. You could not help but begin to experience the power of God in your life. What about that kind of vision? Oh God, we thank you that you are our vision, that we long to experience your power, your presence, your grace in and through our lives, and we recognize that there's an opportunity to shift, to change, to grow in our process as Christian people, to devote ourselves to apostolic teaching, to grow in our knowledge of the Word, and as we begin to understand it more, to live it in our own lives. And so Jesus, we pray for your grace. We pray, oh God, that you would grant us that grace, that we might grow in grace, that we might see you, know you, and experience you in a deeper way. Help us become spiritually vitalized disciples who follow you on that narrow path that leads to life. We make our prayer in and through his name, the one who lived and died and rose again, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now please have a seat. So let's take this a little bit deeper. What does apostolic teaching look like here at Revolution? Well, it starts here, Sunday morning. Worship is the front door to the church. What we do at 9:20 and 11 are the starting point to teaching. And you experience not only teaching, but fellowship, prayer, bread breaking. Worship is the front door of the church. And I think we have to ask ourselves as we engage in the process, we begin to experience the power of God in our lives, wouldn't we want to share that with other people? I mean, when God has done something in your life, what's your first tendency? To tell somebody. Right? To tell somebody. So as we begin to experience more of the power of God in our lives, would it not stand to reason that we would go and tell other people about it? And they would be like, that's strange. I might want to try that. Of course. And so invitation is an important part of that. I'd love for you to get on your calendar a couple things. One is we're going to have an Advent Conspiracy wrapping party on the 9th following worship. Great way for people to come, engage in worship, wrap some presents for our friends down at Family Scholar House. Christmas Eve, number one church invite of the year. It's always the same day, December 24th. Can't miss it. We're going to have worship at 5 and 7:30. Love for you to start priming the pump and making some invitations now. And I'm going to set a great, big, audacious goal for our community. Here it is. We got 14 months to do it. 14 months to do it. And we're going to find out, do we believe in the power of God? You ready? In 14 months, I want to see us grow to 500 people. Here's the process. I love you, Vance. Here's the process. It's a very simple process. Everybody, in the next year is going to make one disciple. Everybody's going to make one disciple. Everybody. You're going to make one disciple. Well, I don't know how to make a disciple. Better get learning. Better get learning, dude. I mean, I didn't see the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's gospel say, this is only for certain people. I hear, as you experience the power of God, you got to go share that with other people. So if you're a Christian, you should be discipling other people. And one of the great ways you can disciple other people is simply to invite them. Well, I've invited somebody. How many times? It takes usually 7 or 8 invitations. Well, I'm at number 12. Okay. Maybe you give up on them for a little bit, keep praying for them, and invite somebody else. But you ought to have a list. Tonight, in fact, great spiritual exercise. As you're sitting down watching your Sunday evening show, whatever it is, get a pad and a pen, and write down the name of 30, 40 people who you know need a church. I don't know that many. Yeah, you do. Guarantee you do. And then start praying for them. And as you pray for them, you make an invitation. Hey, Christmas Eve worship. We're going to even have dinner in between worship times. So come at 5:00. You know, we'll hang out together, have dinner, and then you can go about your merry way. For the next 14 months, everybody should be able to make one disciple. Well, what if we fall short? What if we don't? What if we don't? What if it's 1,000 people? Well, then we'd have space problems. Great. The early church had those problems. It seemed to work out just fine for them. I mean, churches are meant to grow. And we can talk about, oh, you know, well, we need to become deeper disciples, and all that's important, and we're going to help you keep becoming deeper disciples. But as you grow in your faith, it stands to reason, you should be discipling somebody else. The church has always been meant to grow. And so for the next 14 months, everybody's going to make one disciple. We've got some great teaching series coming for you in January and February. January is going to be all about defeating your giants. What's my giant? I don't know what your giant thing is. I don't like flying. And I got to take a long plane ride to Israel, so I got to get over my giant. Yeah, I'm going to work on it. There you go. God will help us. February, we're going to have a teaching series that's all about conflict. I don't know anyone who doesn't have some conflict in their life. Great opportunity to invite people. So one disciple in the next 14 months. The second layer to our teaching process is a renovation group. If worship is the front door, the renovation group is the family room. That's where life here happens. And I can guarantee you, as I look at folks, if they are plugged into a renovation group, there is more of a tendency for the power of God to be at work in their lives than somebody who's just attending Sunday morning. Guaranteed, they're more likely to serve, they're more likely to give, they're more likely to be engaged, they're more likely to be reading their Bible. If you're involved in a renovation group, more often than not, if you're connecting in the family room, you're experiencing more of the power of God in your life. Almost 75% of our community is involved in a renovation group, which is awesome. This year, I want to get to 85%. So if you are not part of a renovation group, we want to connect you. Talk to Matt. Talk to me. Email us. It's on our website. I mean, there's 101 different ways that you can get connected to a group, but they're necessary. And then I'm adding a third layer. Third layer is called a renovation band. Well, what is it? We're going to play music? No. What I've realized is there is a need for men-to-men ministry and female-to-female ministry. Guys, there's just some stuff we're not going to talk about around the gals, yes? And ladies, I mean, yes, I'm not even going to try. It's like the whole mystique of why there's a couch in the women's restroom. I will never understand that. Okay, like, what happens there? I don't know. That's a teaching series for another time. But we need a third layer, and I think this is what's been missing, is these small, what's a band? I would say 4 people is a band. 4 people is a band. In the earliest version of the Wesley of the church and the movement that Wesley started, yeah, it was six people who would gather together and they would ask one another some core questions. They would study some scripture. They would pray for one another. And so once a month, every 40 days, something like that, we've got these cards. It says renovation bands. Matt did a great job of putting them together. And the key is, how's it with your soul? How are you doing physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually? Have you had failures? What are your victories? What's God revealing to you? What are you keeping secret? What are you keeping secret? Yeah. Yeah, and so, are you going to put us together? No, you're going to do that yourself. So find four people. Maybe they're the guys in your renovation group. Maybe they're guys you work with. I don't know what it is, but find a group that you can meet with once a month and talk about these things. Talk about these things. These kind of groups help you not go off the rails. I have a group of pastors. We all got ordained together. There's five of us now. There were six. One did go off the rails. And every month, we pound on each other in love about what's happening in your life. And you know what I've found is, before I do something dumb, they're more likely to head me off and say, Ebel, that's a really bad idea. And you need people in your life who will do that for you, who will be honest with you, even if it hurts. So front door is worship, family room is renovation group. Kind of think of the kitchen as being the renovation band, because you let people get in your kitchen, I guess. And we'll give you the resources. There's a great book that you can read about bands. I'd be glad to provide that for you. Let me know. And again, these cards, they are out front for you. And we'll resource you as the needs arise. So I'd love for you, audacious goal number three, commit to a 40-day or monthly renovation band group or renew group. But I want to go back to the beginning. Look at what we said. We said, my life doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by change. And the change starts with teaching. Always have, always has. As we learn, as we grow, as we begin to devote ourselves to a tighter, deeper process, we begin to experience more of God's power in our lives. And look, this is something that I use. I'm here on Sunday. Well, I guess I get paid to, so that's part of it. But I have a renovation group that I'm a part of. I have a renovation band that I'm a part of. And I've been using that process for about 20 years, and I don't have it all figured out. But I do know this. The more connected I am, the more of God's power I begin to experience. And I want to see each of you thrive. I want each of you to thrive, to experience that vision of life maybe you thought about at the beginning of our teaching today. A life with God, where you see and experience His power, where you tell other people about what God is doing. A marriage that's solid as the rock. A work life that's in balance with your personal life. Joy in your life. And these processes lead to that power. You know, it's a funny thing about the church. The church is a system, it's a people, but it's only as effective as the disciples within it. So as we start 2020 visioning, I think we have to ask ourselves this, is how effective are we as disciples, as followers of Christ? And what I'm saying is, man, we got a great start. Got a great start. But let's take it to the next level. Okay? All right, well, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that as we engage in the process of a life with you, we begin to experience more of your power. And Lord, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that vitalized relationship with you, where we hear your voice, where we share in community with other people around us, where we lead other folks to a life with you. So God, we pray for your power. We do pray for your grace. We ask that you would challenge and convict us where necessary, that we might change the process, that we might know a life with you. And we give you thanks and praise in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of questions came in or comments. Is it that we're looking for Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, healing the leper, rising on the third day type miracle? And we're overall looking at all the small miracles in our lives. Why do we ignore a small improvement of blood counts or being able to pay off credit cards as miracles? Yeah, I would agree. You know, miracles come in all different forms. And, you know, I think the key is how will we see and experience the power of God? And the more connected we are to him, the more we begin to realize that all of life is really graced by his presence. You know, your paycheck, which comes, is a form of God's grace to you. You might think it's, well, I went out and earned it, and I did the college degree or whatever, but how did you get a job? You know, it's all about grace. So I love what you said there. As far as inviting people, Matt wanted me to be reminded that we have blank postcards in the front information desk that you can always use to that. And somebody also asked, does Celebrate Recovery count in the renovation group process? Absolutely it does. You know, this is a small group that you're meeting with folks, you're studying scripture, and you're working on the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that you have. So if you're part of a Celebrate Recovery group, great. And if you need one, you know, they meet every Wednesday, and they would love to have you. Really looking forward to sharing more. Next week, we're going to be talking about igniting and leadership. So we'll look forward to seeing you then. Have a great week. Be the revolution.